Welcome to the podcast series, Talking Success, Connecting the Global FinTech Community. I'm Catherine Brassel, and today I'll be talking with Priyanka Miracets, Chief Executive Officer at Nine Payment Service Bank in Nigeria. Nine Payment Service Bank is Nigeria's first fully digital payment service bank operating under approval of the Central Bank of Nigeria. They provide financial inclusion services and initiatives for those with or without banks, offering seamless access to the online and offline digital banking experience. Thank you so much for joining us today, Priyanka, and for sharing your story with us. We're very excited to have you.
Thank you for having me, Catherine.
And tell me, how have things been your side and how have things been in Nigeria?
I would say Nigeria is a very interesting country. It doesn't come without challenges, but I would say I'm managing. It has been a year now, actually, since I moved. So far, so good.
Yeah, we've only heard great things about the country, and I'm sure you're going to give us a lot of insight throughout this conversation as well. So kicking off, we'd love to know a bit more about your own personal career journey, you know, how you sort of came into the sort of fintech space. And of course, you know, this exciting new venture, which is Nine PSB. So yeah, so let's dive into that.
Thank you, Catherine. So I would say like that my journey has been quite unorthodox, to put it that way. So I started my career some 15 years ago in Europe, in Serbia, working in an Austrian traditional bank. So I spent like 9 years there building my career from the very beginner position, being account manager through several different positions over the period, And just before I will leave, I held the position of corporate credit risk head. So once I left Serbia and traditional banking, that was the time I was introduced for the very first time to fintech and what fintech meant. So I moved to Russia, to Moscow, where I had opportunity to actually oversee risk spanning, I would say, at the time, 16 markets.
Wow.
From Asia to, yes, Russia, Europe, and India as well, and some Latin countries. So I learned quite a big deal there. So by the time of my second year, I think I was covering maybe 30% risk and 70% everything else related to business, which gave me a great exposure, you know, to learn everything from sales, from marketing. I already came with some experience in finance.
Yes.
That I gained in my previous bank, but in fintech, it's another story, you know, another terminology, all these new buzzwords like big data, artificial intelligence.
We're
digital.
Still all learning.
yes. And I think like, yeah, that was interesting. So I learned a lot there. And after spending a few years in Moscow, I moved to Estonia. That's like Baltic country on the north of Europe. And from Estonia, from Tallinn, I was covering a few countries like Finland, Norway, Sweden, and Poland. This also gave me a different experience. So literally, I was working on a restructuring plan for the organization. I learned from the first time in my career how to write an equity story for investors.
Okay.
So I spent some time with that company. Then I moved to Latvia, to Riga. From there, I covered 11 countries. I cannot name them, but they were like spanning also like from Latin America to Europe. So over that period, I actually, as I learned so much and I was holding a position of chief risk officer, I decided that I was ready actually to take the next step in my career and to build a company on my own. Not necessarily being my company, but of course working for other shareholders and investors. Mm. So, and that brought me actually, by the time I made a decision 2 weeks later, this opportunity presented itself. So I would say it would have been a mistake, you know, to pass on it. So I just took an opportunity and here I am.
No, that's an amazing journey. And I mean, coming obviously yeah. from Eastern Europe, you know, into Africa mm-hmm. and specifically into Nigeria, it must be quite a different scene.
Yeah, for sure. But what I'm excited the most about is the opportunity to work for organization that has such a great social objective. Mm. This was one of my goals when I decided that I want to take a new opportunity. The next one, actually, I wanted to work within the organization that had like a social objective.
Yes. And I mean, obviously, you know, the unbanked in Nigeria, you know, is a huge social objective and that mission for financial inclusion, of course. So
yes.
And obviously, no doubt comes with its own challenges.
Yes, of course. You know, just to shed some light on how big Nigerian market is, let me say that for those who don't know that Nigeria counts to 210 million
wow.
people with median age of 18 years. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, so
it's so like
young.
Fast growing.
Of
yeah,
course.
So young and fast growing market.
Mm.
And sadly, as of this moment today, there is only around 50 million of people that are actually banked. So that means that the about 50% of people don't have access or full access to banks product. And I believe that some statistics and numbers that that I read says that somewhere between 15 and 20% of the population has access to some form of financial services through microfinance, digital wallets, you know, mobile wallets. So we classify them as underbanked.
Yes.
But we still have about 30 to 35 million of people, adults, that are completely financially excluded and without access to any form of financial services. So I would say that alone presents like a huge, huge market potential for, you know, institutions like 9PSB.
That's amazing. And can you tell our listeners a little bit more about the company itself, what you are doing, and really how you're selling and packaging what you're doing to consumers?
Exactly. Thank you. So we actually launched 11 months ago in November of 2020. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, we embarked on this journey with specific and dedicated mission, and that mission being to transform financial services in Nigeria by providing creative and market-driven solutions that should address the challenges of the financially excluded people.
Mm-hmm.
So as you already mentioned, that we are licensed by the central bank. And what is interesting to share with your listeners is that the regulatory framework and strategy for financial inclusion has been set by the Central Bank of Nigeria since almost a decade ago.
Wow.
And yes, exactly. And what happened that there has been so many stakeholders taking various initiatives to achieve that common goal. And however, here we are a decade later, the milestones set along the way haven't been achieved yet. So this is where we come in. So what we did when we were defining a 9PSB strategy, we actually tried to perceive how life looks like through the lenses of those who are financially excluded.
Mm.
And actually invisible within the system and to the system without any track records, without any possibility to access not even basic financial services, let alone any form of funding, credits. Yeah, exactly, insurance and so on. So I would say that our main team is always to think which problems we can solve for our customers and how will our products and services impact their lives and livelihoods. So, and I would say when you mentioned like selling our products, there are many players, you know, and I would say that there are like some notable exceptions, but majority of the industry stakeholders are still mostly focused on delivering the products and services to the banked and those who are financially included and digitally savvy. And on one side, you know, it's understandable because it's low-hanging fruit. For sure, it will ensure quick returns on investments for shareholders. However, given the industry, market, and country specifics, and the approach and the strategy we have undertaken in PSB is the model that will ensure the sustainability of the business and long-term value to the shareholders. So when you ask me about how we pack our products, so we did an extensive market research and planning in the initial phase. You know how they say those who fail the plan are planning to fail.
Of course.
So we tried it to, so we tried to avoid that. So the challenges we have identified as the, I would say, key obstacles to successful delivery have shaped our go-to-market strategy. So we identified three pillars for our strategy. That's to provide and deliver compelling products, access to services, and customer service. So I can share a bit more on each. We were discussing before how just giving the access to the products doesn't necessarily mean that clients will actually use that that product. So in order actually to achieve that, we believe that financial literacy has to happen.
Exactly.
So we were like, we will be soon launching a financial literacy program, and that program will speak to the groups in their familiar languages about structure, features, and benefits of financial industry and financial product and services. So to put it like in practical terms, for those who are not very much familiar with, you know, financial inclusions and challenges, like imagine if you're a woman that I would say has dealt only with cash all her life, and you would probably not have all the relevant information to make an informed decision on what benefits you would get if opening a bank account and becoming part of the formal system. So short term, you would only see it as if you need to hand over your cash to someone and have no direct access to it any longer. So paying for each transaction every time you want to perform it. So from that perspective, it's not a benefit for you. So how to sell product? So, but when we educate people that when they become part of the system, they will be able to save their money in more more effectively, in particular in view of safety and security challenges in Nigeria, you know, that Nigerians are facing, or that they will be able to access microloans or protect their families through microinsurances, only then they will start seeing the long-term benefits of having a bank account and using one. And I would say only then they effectively being financially included.
And how would you say you're driving the change to go from cashless? Because obviously that's a big change in terms of, you know, how things have been done for many, many, many years.
Exactly. So I would say that despite a large number of fintech companies operating on the market, today more than half of Nigerians are still either unbanked or underbanked, as I said, and which means that they are part of the informal sector and cash economy. I read somewhere like it's estimated that about 80% of transactions in Nigeria are still cash based.
That's crazy.
So I would assume that this is like very like strange for people coming from Europe, you know, where we are paying like digitally using cards and, you know, online transactions. So we spoke about the challenges and what 9PSB is doing to address them, from infrastructure, you know, product to customer service. So the solution that we are providing are a start point in the transformation and change from cash to cashless market. And that solution would be ensuring the last mile access is the first step for capturing cash from informal sector.
Okay.
So what that means in practical terms, that means like securing a physical like points where people will actually, you know, cash in their means into the system. So, you know, we secure relevant products. And by securing those relevant products, we are guaranteeing that there is no major shift in customers' behavior patterns, which would cause rejection in adoption of services. So, but what we want to assure that products that we are offering will make their life easier, like, and transactions will become more secure and done in a seamless way. So I would say that's like the first step, but mm-hmm. it's a gradual process. And
yes.
sometimes what is important is we don't need to disrupt the market. I would say market in Nigeria is already disrupted mm-hmm. by itself. But what we need to do is to bring the solutions and value to unify it and make life for people like easier. So that would be mm-hmm. the first step.
The future of work is constantly shifting. How can HR leaders stay on top of the latest trends to better lead their global workforce to success? Serva Soundbites podcast explores current trends and the hottest topics around global employee relocation and the future of work. We connect with industry experts, HR leaders, and innovative thinkers to share their insights and stories. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your business podcasts.
No, that's amazing. I mean, what you're doing,
yeah.
it's a huge challenge, but it's definitely you're headed mm-hmm. in the right direction, and it will take a bit of time. But like you say, I mean, that you know, especially it being a very young market, you know, they're very generally, mm-hmm. they're quicker to adopt the new technology, which is awesome.
Yes, yeah. But maybe it's important to say, you know, like what I saw, fintech companies and digital banks and traditional banks, we shouldn't compete, you know, with each other.
Mm.
So I have to say that we have learned a lot from the telco industry here in Nigeria when it comes to effective way
yes.
of enabling that last mile access to users that I mentioned. And it is, I would say that is one of the industries that has most successful, like penetrated in the most remote areas of the country, enabling access to virtually everyone. So if you're familiar with the country, you would know that there are like infrastructure challenges, that there are like ethnical challenges, you know, language, different languages across the country. So the what telcos in Nigeria did, they basically, you know, created this business model that reached every corner of Nigerians to cover it from infrastructure way. So we often say here in NPSB that we are selling our products through telco-like delivery model. So apart from being a fintech, I would say that we are creating kind of like a new niche which we can call fintel. You know, delivering
fintel.
Financial services. Yeah, fintel, delivering financial services through telco distribution channels. So we created a new buzzword.
Amazing.
Know, like fintel.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm sure that's going to take off. I'd like to just go back. I know you spoke a lot about your risk, you know, your risk background, you know,
mm-hmm.
obviously in banking and,
mm-hmm.
and obviously more than a decade of experience, you know, in the risk sector.
Mm-hmm.
How has that shaped your approach to creating what you spoke about earlier in terms of shareholder value?
Oh, Catherine, I love that question. I'm very proud of my career, like as chief risk officer. And I always like to say that, you know, contrary to popular belief, risk function actually isn't a barrier for business growth. I would say it's rather one of its main drivers. So what we can see that, you know, like over the past several years with the development and increase of alternative data sources, we were able to apply machine learning algorithms in a more predictive way to approve, you know, larger population of customers when it comes to microloans
mm-hmm.
and to drive innovation in fintech space. And, you know, these innovations driven by risk function people basically enabled many more processes to be automated, you know, leading ultimately to the decrease in OPEX, driving smart champion challenger strategies, and ultimately resulting in optimized return on investment. So to summarize it, I would say being a CEO with risk background, I would say provides me with a unique perspective on all the aspects that maximize shareholder value. Just as business and development is important in creating value, so is proper funding planning, global operational processes optimization, and operational risk management. And I would say that only when each of these components have been optimized and aligned can shareholder value be maximized. And anything else, I would say, is just, you know, work half done.
No, that's amazing. And I mean, also, obviously, you're a female in fintech and you're a CEO. I'd love to talk a little bit about that. Because I mean, like ourselves as well, we're on a mission to kind of close that gender gap. So how are you kind of, you know, as a female, as, you know, in a senior level now, of course, and sort of spearheading a lot of change and reducing that gender gap, how are you sort of driving this female in fintech? Females in fintech.
So, it's a hot topic, I would say, in the last few years. And I'm a feminist, but I became like more vocal maybe only in the last few years. I had a joke before, and I hope nobody will you know take this wrongly way. But very often when people ask me how I select, you know, my staff and employees, I say that I don't discriminate as long as my candidate is a woman. So, but on a serious note, that's just a joke. Of course, experience, knowledge, and everything else, you know, it goes without saying. It's needed. It's requirement. But on a serious note, I would say that 9PSB is a building a diverse and equal opportunity corporate culture, and we focus on all employees to provide them with enabling environment. So when it comes to this, to closing the gender gap, we consider it being graduate process, much like the financial inclusion we just, you know, talked about. So it will take the time, I would say, and consolidated efforts on many levels, both internally, like in this company, 9PSB, that I'm running currently, as well as the support of external shareholders, so stakeholders, I would say, so to achieve that milestone. And I have to share that I'm very proud to say that so far, 80% of 9PSB top management are female.
Wonderful.
So, majority of the company, we are fintech. So we are like, technology-based institutions. So, of course, the majority of people working in IT are male populations. So I would say it will take some time to cascade this across various departments. And as such, we are taking concerted efforts to bring that, you know, to bridge that gap. So, but maybe I would also like to point out that we are not doing this just like internally when it comes to 9PSB as organization. Mm-hmm. So along with these internal efforts, by virtue of providing financial product and services tailored to women and user group that consists majorly of women, we are actually enabling a much broader female base to start their journey of empowerment. So we are also focused, this is one of our like corporate objectives. Mm-hmm. So I would say that, you know, through financial services, many of women become empowered to have easier access to funding, to education, to healthcare, and all this will ultimately result in larger number of women being ready for, you know, challenges when it comes to career, and girls preparing to enter the workforce. And I like to believe that this will result in other employers on the market, not just 9PSB, you know, being able to choose their employees from a larger pool of female talents. So to sum it up, I would say that our efforts are directed two ways. So the first one, you know, leading by example to bridge the gap internally as an organization through various initiatives. And number two, supporting economy growth and promoting the sustainable business model that will empower women.
No, that's absolutely fantastic. And I think our listeners are going to be excited to sort of watch you guys, see how things unfold, of course. And and then perhaps we can connect in a few more months, because it's obviously happening at quite a pace. And we really wish you all the very best, particularly in terms of your driving financial literacy within Nigeria and adoption, of all the services that you offer.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Catherine. thank you for that. I would be glad to share, I would like to say that even though we started 11 months ago, we were flying under the radar during this period, and just setting up the stage and foundation, laying out our infrastructure, covering all the states across Nigeria. And results are yet to come. So it would be great to talk in a few months, to talk numbers and to share what we have achieved,
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Banka, for all of this. And please let us know if our listeners would like to get hold of you. What is the best way for them to connect with you?
Oh, I'm active on LinkedIn, so they can find me on LinkedIn.
Brilliant.
And I think that's the best way.
Brilliant. Well, we'll have all of your details in the links below. But thank you so much for your time, and we wish you all the very best. And we're certainly going to watch you over the next coming months and see all of that growth happening.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode, Talking Success, Connecting the Global FinTech Community. Please follow us on LinkedIn under Talent in the Cloud, or if you're interested in exec talent, expanding your FinTech team, or you yourself are looking for an exciting change in your career, please check out our website, talentinthecloud.io.